And so when you come to the Gospel of Mark, it's a gospel of action. The Lord Jesus here lays aside his robes of royalty, those regal robes we saw in Matthew, and he girds himself with the towel of service, and he moves in, and he's a man of action. He is the king in Matthew. He is the servant in the Gospel of Mark. Not man's servant. He's God's servant. And it is a gospel that, frankly, you can divide in a most unusual way. I like to divide the four gospels according to a newspaper. For instance, Matthew carries the advertising and announcements. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Dr. Luke carries the special features. He gives us the songs of Christmas and the parables of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son, and he majors in those. Now, John carries the editorials and the columnists, the different columns that are written. He has the discourse on the bread of life, the light of the world, and the upper room discourse. But John Mark carries the flaming headlines. Jesus came. That's one of his expressions. Jesus only. And then he is risen. These are headlines that you find in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark expresses it by stating the words of our Lord in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And you have here, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him. And that's Isaiah 42:1. And you find that Bernard in the Bampton Lectures way back in 1864 said of Mark, St. Peter's saying to Cornelius has been well noticed as a fit motto for this gospel. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Someone has put it like this. I read in a book where a man called Christ went about doing good. It's very disconcerting to me that I'm so easily satisfied with just going about. We hear a great deal today about protesting and marches, and you hear the do-gooders, both the politicians and the preachers. They are all talking about doing good, but they're not doing good. They are just going about, but not doing good. The Lord Jesus came in all the winsomeness of his humanity and in the fullness of his deity doing good. But this is only the beginning of the gospel. He died and rose again, and it wasn't until then that he said to his own, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Without the death and resurrection, these do-gooders are just do-gooders. They just don't do it, though. That's the only problem with them. And so you have in the Gospel of Mark a gospel of action. The style of Mark is brief and blunt, pertinent and pithy, short and sweet. And Mark is stripped of all excess verbiage, and he goes right to the point. This is the gospel of action and accomplishment. Here Jesus is not adorned with words and narrative, but he's stripped and girded for action. And Mark is written in a very simple style. It's designed for the mass of the street. It's interesting to note that the connective "and" occurs more than any other word in the gospel. Now, it is said it occurs 1,331 times. I didn't count that, friends, but if you doubt that figure, you count it. 1,331 times. And very frankly, if I had turned in college English, well, any kind of a paper with that many "ands" in it, I'd have been, I think, flunked for it, because they say you ought not to use that, but it's a potent word when it's used right. And very frankly, it is a word of action. It's something that means something has to follow. And that's the reason a lot of new speakers, I've noticed young preachers, they get up and they're reaching for something to say, and then they use the word and. And the minute you say and, friend, you got to say something else. You can't stop with that. No sentence can end with and. And leads to action always. And now Mark wrote this gospel, I believe, in Rome, evidently for the Romans. And as we've said, they were the kind of people that wanted one of action. The question was, is Jesus able to do it? Now, you'll notice here at the very beginning, there's no genealogy. Well, now, why wouldn't you have a genealogy? Well, I think that that's quite obvious. Why you do not have a genealogy? In Matthew, you have one. A king must have a genealogy. But a servant needs references, not a birth certificate. The question is, can he do the job? And we're going to see that in this gospel. That's the way that he's presented. Now, probably, I ought to say just a word about the notes that I have, and I hope you'll send for them. I have divided the gospel of Mark in a way that's different from any other division. It's filled with miracles, more miracles than any other. And you find out, and I'd like to give you the outline briefly. John introduces the servant. God the Father identifies the servant. The temptation initiates the servant. And works and words illustrate. And you have the miracles divided in miracles of healing, physical, miracles of nature, natural miracles, the casting out of demons, spiritual miracles, and then raised from the dead, supernatural. You have these four major divisions of miracles. And then you have a few parables, not many, and then many other teachings and incidents. And I've divided this gospel in that way, rather than attempting to go through in a logical way and divide each chapter.